Once heard this story about a couple of guys who were talking about their problems, as if people don't talk about anything else, you know. And the one guy confessed, "I'm really in trouble," he said. "You know, I have a mountain of credit card debt. I lost my job. My car has been repossessed and my house is in foreclosure, but I'm not worried about it." His friend said, "Well, how can you not be worried?" He said, "I hired a professional worrier. He does all my worrying for me." "Well, that's fantastic," the friend said. "Well, how much does a professional worrier cost?" And confidently he responded, $50,000 a year. He said, "Wow, that's expensive. Where are you going to find that kind of money?" The man replied, "Well, I don't know, but that's for him to worry about." Let's be honest with ourselves, though. You know, everyone, with few exceptions, is prone to worry from time to time. And sometimes people worry over big things, and other times they worry over little things. But we all do worry from time to time. And no one's trying to say that dealing with worry or anxiety is easy. Not trying to say that at all. Because for some people, it never seems to go away. While for others, it's just like flipping a switch and no more worries, you know. Kind of like that old Bobby McFerrin song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," you know. Remember that song? Kind of a catchy tune. I got a little plastic fish that sings it, you know, at the house. And, you know, it'll make you smile, but simply singing "Don't Worry, Be Happy," you know, that's not a real solution to worry. Not at all. The fish is kind of fun, though, I'll say that. But before we get too far into things, I thought we'd talk a little bit about what worry is. So just what is worry? Well, a handy-dandy dictionary definition of worry is to feel uneasy or anxious, to torment oneself with, suffer from disturbing thoughts. It's to fret. Now, connected to worry is anxiety. And anxiety, a definition of that from the dictionary says, it's a distress or an uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. It's a state of apprehension and psychic tension occurring in some forms of mental disorder. Psychic tension, yeah. Now, looking at both these definitions, it seems clear that there is anxiety or worry that we might define as normal or rather mild, and then there's anxiety or worry that's rather abnormal or severe. You see, just like there are other emotions that we feel, God has actually given us the ability to feel anxious for a reason. Think about it. All of us experience anxiety as a normal reaction to things that are threatening or things that are dangerous or uncertain, or if we're having to deal with an important situation. We should feel a little bit anxious about it. There's a reason, you know, because it might not be good, all right? And so normal or mild anxiety, as we've kind of labeled it, can actually enhance a person's function. It could motivate you. It could help you to be more productive. It's kind of like someone who, you know, they say they work well under pressure. Perhaps a good example of this is the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. You remember that Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Acts 16. And while they were there, they were praying and singing hymns to God, right? And I'm going to read that for us rather than just share the story. So picking up in verse 26 of Acts 16, the text says that suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. Now, I want you to think about yourself in the position of the jailer, okay? The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. You see, the jailer was worried, wasn't he? All right? He was anxious. You know, now was he wrong to feel that way? I don't think so. All right? He was concerned for his well-being, you see. He then brought them, verse 30, out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your whole household, you and your household." And then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. You know, so having a little bit of anxiety about, you know, the fact that all the prisoners are gone and what should he do to be saved is really a good thing. Okay. And some anxiety, therefore, is to be expected then and can be helpful to us. It can motivate us to do certain things, to do good things. But there's other kinds of anxiety. And that type of anxiety, for example, might consist of disturbing thoughts, focused on nothing but fear and danger. And that kind of worry becomes a state of apprehension that can actually cause a person to just kind of lock up and not enable them to do anything. They just sort of turn inward into their shell. I think a biblical example of this comes from Deuteronomy 28, where we read about an anxious spirit that will come upon the disobedient. And this is God speaking to his people before they entered the promised land. And Deuteronomy 28, 64 through 67 says that the Lord will scatter you among all the nations. And again, this is for them being disobedient. From one end of the earth to the other, there you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your forefathers have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both day and night, never sure of your life. In the morning you'll say, if only it were evening, and in the evening, if only it were morning, because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights that your eyes will see. It seems to me that that is a good example of somebody with a type of anxiety or fear that is crippling. Okay. And there are people who do suffer like that today. And they're classified by doctors as having a generalized anxiety disorder or GAD. And so for them, anxiety is excessive and it's chronic and it interferes with their ability to function in normal daily activities. And so according to the stats across the country, it's estimated that about 4 to 5 million people in our country suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. And while some people are dealing with GAD, and it might be just a psychological issue, and they just have to have some counseling, there are others actually dealing with it on a physiological issue. There's actually something physically wrong with them that's causing this problem. In other words, there's something that's causing them to suffer this GAD, you know, this generalized anxiety disorder. And so they seem to experience actually irregular levels of neurotransmitters in their brain. So that means the treatment for them ends up not only being counseling, but drug therapy today. I'm saying all this to say that, simply put, there are different levels of struggle with worry and anxiety. And that said, we want to be careful to say that, you know, we can categorize it all together and say that everyone's dealing with the same sort of worry, all right? Because we're all different. And that means that some of us might need different kinds of help in order to cope with our own individual situations. Okay, that's just to say that we need to be careful in trying to say that, well, you don't need to worry, just trust in God. To some, that works fine, but for others, there might actually be physiological or serious psychological issues. Okay, just one more term we want to get out on the table, and that's concern. You see, concern is different from worry. It just is, all right? For example, in Job chapter 1, we read that Job was concerned about his children. And verses 4 and 5, it says that his sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. You see, concern says that there's a potential problem or issue, and I will do what I can to deal with it. And Job went ahead and made some provision. He was concerned for the welfare of his children. But worry goes in a different direction. And that's because worry tends to become excessive. And it says, I'm afraid for their safety, I'm consumed with fear about what might happen. So in Job's case, he might not let them out at all, right? He'd lock them up. Over in John chapter 9, we read of an example of where the man born blind was healed by Jesus, and his parents were brought in for questioning by the Pharisees. And now it's not the man born blind, but it's their parents that have this really unhealthy worry, you see. They were being questioned by the Pharisees, and starting in verse 20, they said, you know, we know he is our son, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. Verse 22 tells us why they said this way about their own son. It says, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ was to be put out of the synagogue. So they were pretty well worried. They were totally afraid about what would happen. They had an unhealthy fear, in my opinion, okay? So there's worry, and there's anxiety, and there are different levels and different reasons for experiencing worry and anxiety, and some of them might actually be very valid reasons and prompt us to do good things, while other reasons might be rather irrational and cause us to do downright silly things, maybe foolish things. So, what causes us to worry? Well, we could have a whole series on that, but one thing I'm not going to tell you again is that there's nothing to worry about. And that's because, again, there are all kinds of different things that we could worry about. And that's because life, well, life can be hard. Bad things do happen to good people and also to bad people and even to everyone in between. You see, we live in a real world and we want a faith that deals with reality and not pretend. So I'm not going to tell you that all you got to do is trust in God. Yes, you do, but there's more to it sometimes. See, we want a faith that we could stand up and proudly say that God says this and he is with me. But at the same time, we want to be able to say that our faith can stand up and be helpful to us regardless whatever comes our way in life. And so one reason that we worry is just simply the fact that life can downright be hard sometimes. Life can be hard sometimes. You know, you could look at some people out there that have got nothing, and they may worry, they may not, but some people do worry about where they're going to get food the next day, you know? So they worry about things like that. And we also worry because, you know, the future is uncertain in regards to that. The truth is, you know, we personally don't know what the future holds. You know, could there be job cuts? Could there be illness? Could you get into an accident? Could there be acts of terrorism? Well, actually, using the word could, the answer would be yes all across the board, right? We also worry because we're not in control. Think about it again. There's this illusion that we're in control, but we're really not. And that's because, well, we might think so. We can't control the future. We can't control others and their actions. And it's that lack of control that can cause some people to worry an awful lot. And really, there are countless reasons why people worry. One big one that, Ken sort of even touched on with the offering this morning is money. You know, we sometimes worry because of money, and it's not just people who are scraping the bottom of the barrel looking for pennies. Both those with and those without, and even those somewhere in between, find themselves worrying about money. Think about it. One of them worries that they don't have enough money, and the other worries that they might lose the money they have. Proverbs 30, though, offers a solution to those worriers. In Proverbs 30, we have some of the sayings of Agur, the son of Jakeh. And in verses 7 through 9, he says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. He says, keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Oh boy, that's a powerful passage, isn't it? Because don't you know people like that or heard about things like that? You know, they get so comfortable and so complacent in the life they have no need of God. Because I'm good, you know, I took care of myself. On the other hand, there might be someone that gets so down and out, they end up having to do sinful things to stay alive. He says, just give me what I need. Give me my daily bread. That sounds a whole lot like the prayer that Jesus gave the disciples as a model prayer in Matthew 6 and in verse 11. See, this is the kind of prayer that we need to pray, really, you know, a prayer asking God to give us only what we need, nothing more or nothing less. Again, this is the type of thing that Jesus instructed his disciples to pray. You know, sometimes I think that we think that if we're rich with money, you know, that we would have no worries. But listen to what Solomon has to say in Ecclesiastes 5:12. He says that the sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. He's just so worried about all the things he has. So worried about it. You see, there's this tendency to think that the more we have, then the more secure we'll feel. But the opposite's often true, right? The more we have, the more we have to worry about. Just ask the rich man in Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Jesus said how hard it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And why? Because he's so worried about stuff. Think about it. Who worries more about their car? Is it the person with the 2015 LS460 Lexus or the person with the 1985 Ford Tempo? I remember that car. My mother had, never mind. One might be worried about theft and dents and dings, person with the Lexus, you know. The other might be worried about it starting and making it across town. So, you know, money can be the source of worry for many different people, but for very different reasons. Again, there are countless other reasons why people worry. The bottom line is, though, that there are always going to be things to worry about, but the most important question for us to answer today is, what's a solution for worry? What's a solution for worry? Well, I'll try not to sound too cliche-ish, but let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 6, and let's see what solutions Jesus gives us for worry. Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, there in verses 25 through 27. There Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Now, the first thing that we need to remember here is that worry accomplishes nothing. Yeah, you could worry. Worry accomplishes nothing. Take a look at verse 27 again. There Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? The answer is no one. No one. It can prompt us to action, though, but can't do anything else, can't give you more life. The chronic worrier once said, don't tell me worrying doesn't help. Things I worry about never happen. It works, right? Now, not only does worrying not help us, but really it often has the opposite effect. Some people are worried about losing their hair. They go through all kinds of different things to try to keep their hair. Well, most likely that's going to accelerate the process. Not that I know about that. Are you worried about getting sick? There are a lot of people I know that are always worried about getting sick. But you know that worry can actually suppress your immune system and actually make you get sick. Are you worried about losing your job? Well, some people have shown that that doesn't always provoke you to do better. Instead, it'll lower your performance. And that might actually lead you to losing your job. Again, back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 12:25 says that an anxious heart weighs a man down. And so when we're tempted to worry, we need to remember that it really accomplishes nothing in the end. Second, let's remember that God cares about us. God cares about us. Back in Matthew 6 again, and in verse 26, Jesus asked this question. He said, are you not much more valuable than they? Talking about the birds and everything like that. God looks after the birds and the flowers. So won't he look after you too? Because we're more valuable than they are. And of course. The answer is, of course. Over in the Psalms, In the Psalm of David, where he went before Abimelech, David says this in Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. He says that the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. The Lord cares about us, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and pray to God, God, give me a new car, and you get a new car. It doesn't work that way, okay? He might give you a job. You might be able to save. You might be able to work out things. Doors may open, but if you don't go for it, you're not going to get it, okay? People pray all the time for things to happen. They ask God, God, don't you care about me? And God says, well, you could do this, you could do this, and all sorts of opportunities come by, and yet you don't take them. And then we blame God, you know? You see, whenever we're tempted to worry, we can rest assured that God actually cares for you and me. That God not only cares, but he also helps those that he loves. We just need to be alert to it. Next, let's all remember to put first things first. In Matthew 6, and this time this is down in verses 31 through 33. Look at what Jesus has to say there. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now think back to some of the reasons that we said that we worry. And again, I'm not trying to downplay worry at all. But think back to some of those reasons, again, that we said we worry. You know, sometimes we worry too much because we're focused really on the wrong things, aren't we? Think about it. There are a lot of people that worry about what kind of food they eat. And maybe not like in Jesus' day. Instead, we're worried about whether or not it's gluten-free or GMO-free or sugar-free or fat-free or calorie-free. You know, drink water. wait. Where's the water from? But, you know, but see, people don't seem... While they seem to be all worried about what they're eating and drinking, they don't seem to care all that much about what they're doing with the life that the food makes possible. You know? People also tend to worry about what they wear. You know, who made it? Is it made in the USA? Did some child labor out over in, I don't know, some foreign country make it somewhere? You know, but they aren't all that concerned about what they're doing with the bodies that they put their clothes on. There's some problems there, you see. People also worried about, living as long as possible, trying to extend their life as much as they possibly can. But they don't give much attention to what they're doing with their life or what will come after this life. And so Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, to put first things first. You see, our main focus and our main goal should be centered in God's reign, and in our lives, and in his church. And so, when our greatest concerns are about God's stuff, then all the other stuff is kept in the right perspective, and we won't worry about it because we'll understand that God will provide what we need. Again, think about it this way. What is the issue going to matter to you, whatever you're thinking about, in 10 years? What about 20 years? How about 50 years? What about 75 years? How about 100 years? Right about now you might be saying, well, hey, you know, I might be doing okay, but I'm not going to live that long. Well, that's exactly the point. All right? You won't be alive physically anymore, but you'll be alive spiritually somewhere. And so really, everything spiritual is what is truly important, isn't it? So we need to try to keep that other stuff in perspective. And to keep first things first. All that other stuff falls in after. Fourth, we need to remember to take life one day at a time. One day at a time. And this time, let's read verse 34 from Matthew 6. There Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So think about today. Think about today. And compare just today to, let's say again, the rest of your life. Let's assume 50 years. For some of us, that might put us close to 100. For some, maybe that's 120 or 130. For some, you're not even close. Maybe you're 60. I don't know. All right. But think about today compared to, let's say, 50 years. Today has 24 hours. The next 50 years has 438,000 hours. That's 26,280,000 minutes. And no, I didn't multiply that times 60 to get the seconds. You could do that if you want. So if we were to try to think about that, though, and think about everything that might be ahead of us for the next 50 years, everything, you'd go crazy, you know? It's like, what socks am I going to wear? How about shoes? What about this? You could just go on forever. You know, what kind of food? Plan out your meals for the next 50 years. I suppose you could do it. I don't know. But anyway, think about it this way. Have you ever tried to carry all the grocery bags into the house at once? I have. Those plastic bags going up on there. I got witnesses. It hurts. Especially if you get one on the finger the wrong way. You know, you're trying to grab your keys. It hurts. Plus, the bags could rip. You know, anyway. So it's not a very good idea to try to do that. Well, Jesus here is telling us here, right, to carry those bags in one at a time. Don't try to carry them all in at once, because you're either going to damage things along the way or hurt yourself in the process. Need to be careful. Take it one step at a time. Just one more solution, and this isn't in our Matthew 6 passage. It's over in Philippians. Pray about everything. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul encourages us about worry there, saying, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see what God's saying there? You know, He's saying, instead of worrying about it, pray about it. And why? Because God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. See, rather than trusting in our own power, in our own wisdom, we need to place our hope and faith and trust in God. So anytime that we feel ourselves beginning to worry, let that be our invitation and reminder to pray. And again, like we said before, you know, praying to God is what we got to do, but action's also required with that. Faith and works go together. So practically speaking then, if you hear a rumor about job layoffs, well, don't worry about it, pray about it. And then maybe also keep an eye on the paper, you know, or the internet as it may be today, you know. If the doctor wants to run some tests, well, don't worry about it, pray about it. And then do the test with an open mind and understand that, you know, God will be with you. If your child is struggling in school or making some poor life choices, pray about it. Take it to God. Then talk to him. Tell him about it. Now seek some help. Pray about it. And what ends up happening again, right? Well, back in Philippians 4, you remember verse 7 there? It says, the peace of God. Well, I'm worried about it. Well, pray about it. Why? The peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, most worries of this life don't make a whole lot of sense to the Christian, because we're supposed to know that we're not in control, and we're supposed to know that we don't know the future, but God's in control and God knows the future. And so while we don't know any of that stuff, remember God does. So rather than worry, why not simply trust God instead? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast because he cares. Okay. Again, everybody worries from time to time. And some of our worries are very, 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 very valid. Some of them are rather extreme and a little, you know, irrational. But we should remember that in some cases, there are some people who worry because of psychological or physiological reasons. And they require more than sometimes what we have to offer. And they need to seek professional help. But for many of us, worry is something that we can overcome when we remember that, again, it accomplishes nothing but making us sick. And number two, God truly cares about you and me, which means that number three, we need to put first things first. We need to put his kingdom and his righteousness first. And so number four, we take life one day at a time with God at our helm in our lives. And fifth, we said, if something should happen that might cause us some concern, rather than worry about it, pray about it. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Remembering again that faith and works go together. So is worry ever the right thing to do? Well, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. And so it would be healthy to worry about that. But if we're in Christ, then there's nothing to worry about because we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Again, that's from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. And so really in Christ, nothing to worry about. But if you're not in Christ, I'd say it's safe to worry. Safe to worry. But the good news is you don't have to worry. Right? You can become a Christian today and put that worry behind you by confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of living God and then repenting of your sins and being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, just like Linda did last Sunday. And today, I'd like to encourage you to do that if you haven't. If there's someone here who needs to come forward and give their lives to Christ or maybe ask for prayers that weren't mentioned earlier, or maybe you have some other need that we could help out with as a loving church family, I'd like to encourage you to come forward as we all stand and sing.